Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalms 117, Psalms 117. Before we get into this psalm, let's talk a little bit about, you know, for the last couple of years or more, we've been looking at various psalms on Sunday evening, and we wonder sometimes, why is this important? And it is important because it's the Word of God, but it's also important because God knows us, and He, the Holy Spirit, employs a certain device to help us know things, and poetry is one of those devices. Poetry is an interesting thing because it allows us to, as we've said before, it sort of works, it stimulates a different side of your brain. You think in different ways when you're thinking about poetry. It allows you to think with big ideas that we might not normally do. There's something about the structure of poetry that makes it possible for us to learn some things and remember some things that we might not remember. You remember I before E except after C, or when sounded as A as in neighbor and way. I think that's the only rule of grammar that I know anything about and spelling, because I learned it one time in a little poem, and because of that, it allows you. If you had a long list of maybe complicated things or formulas or something, if you could figure out a way to put a little rhyme to it, or at least some kind of order to it that allows you to kind of group it, and it allows you to think it. Well, poetry is great at that, and we do that with some complicated doctrines from God. In the songs that we sing, when we sing them, sometimes we just sing. You know, we're humbling ourselves, we're bowing down and crowning Him King. And those are some big ideas, some big thoughts. The sovereignty of God is bigger than we'll ever get our mind around, but we understand a little bit of it, like we will never really understand everything about love, but we know it best in the songs that we sing and the poetry that we read. Psalms 117 is a very short poem, 29 words in the version that I'm reading from, and yet it is and it employs more than one of these devices to help us understand this great thought. Before we read it, let's look at one of the devices it uses. Some psalms, we have some joining of very similar, almost exact words. One line, then another line. Sometimes one or two of the words will be different, but it's a synonym of the other idea. When your mother told you something more than once, it helped you remember it, didn't it? And when God does it, it helps us to remember. This is an important thought because God's telling it to us, and He's doing it in this organized way. In this little psalm, we have this device used three times. We have three sets of lines, and there's also a little extra something to make it interesting. Our brain gets stimulated when we do something that's, say something that's kind of interesting, and so the first line and the last line are very similar. Matter of fact, they're exact, and then we have the next two lines are together, and the next two lines are together. So we have three sets of lines. Aren't you glad you came tonight so you could know all of this? But the fact is, when you read this psalm and or sing it or whatever you're going to do with it, this will help you understand some really important things. Let's read it together. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Here we have this procedure that's there, and I want us to look at what He's actually telling us and why it's important for us to not only read this psalm, but maybe even memorize it because of what He's saying. First of all, He tells us what we should do. It's like a commandment, and He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All nations. Praise the Lord. What does this mean? Well, it means that there's no one that would be left out of this list. Should be praising God. This is a universal statement. People that know Him well should praise Him. People that don't know Him very well should praise Him. People that are part of his covenant people should praise him. And people that just barely know God should praise him. There should be something in us. And the Bible tells us God put eternity into our heart. And he tells us in another psalm, I think just a page or two away, he tells us the heavens declare the glory of God, so that people that don't know one word of Scripture will know something about God and should praise him. So the commandment there, what should we do? We should praise the Lord. Okay, who should do that? All nations. Look at the second line. Extol him. That's another way of saying praise him, but it's more like give him a round of applause. It's like recognize his greatness. And he tells who should be doing that. Well, all people. If you're not a part of a nation, you're at least a part of the people. So clans, families, neighborhoods, countries, nationalities, ethnic groups, everyone should praise God. It's followed by two more lines that are almost the same. Look what he says. The second thing he says is why we should praise him. And he said, great is his steadfast love. The word steadfast is a big Bible word. It's a kind of word, we don't let children play up here on the stage, not because we're mean, but because this pulpit is not steadfast. If they leaned on it, they and the pulpit might fall to the floor. It's not bolted down. It's not. Now, that handrail is steadfast. When we first built the building, some caring young deacons decided that I would someday need something really steady to help me get up on this stage. And they also knew that it needed to really be sturdy, because when I lean on something, it's really been leaned on. And so we would say, that is steadfast. This isn't. Okay? That kind of worries you, doesn't it, when I do that. If you start sleeping, I may just start leaning on this a little bit. God's word is steadier than that. God's word and God himself, and the very thing about God is you can count on him. He's where he says he'll be. He does what he says he will do. He is good ground that you can always stand on. But here he's not just talking about how steady God is. He's telling us about one quality of God that we just hold on to, and that is his love, his steadfast love. What did he say? His steadfast love is towards us, his steadfast love. One time Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, was lamenting, which is what Lamentations means, his terrible situation. And he's telling, it's awful. He says it's like he's got a target on him and arrows are hitting him. It's like everyone is making fun of him. He is in constant pain. He is sinking in the mire. He is about to die. He says, I can't even remember when I was happy. I don't even remember a happy day. Sometimes when you're really low, you get a little bit of joy from remembering when you weren't low. But he can't even remember. That's how intense this agony is that he's in. And he ends that lament drawing on one thing that he could hold on to. One solid thing that he could stand on. And he said, and one thing I call to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. I can count on God. I can count on God to love me. How could you do that? I mean, as Christians, how could we say you can just count on no matter what the situation is, God loves me? Well, you just look at the cross, don't you? And you think, how much love would someone have to take his beloved son in whom he was well pleased, and not by accident, not because they misplanned something, but set up before they ever made us to set up this plan that would save us at great cost to his son. As his son empties himself, as he comes to this earth, as he goes through all of that, learns to trust his father through the things that he suffered, and then this ultimate suffering is a... So what do we know? We may never understand all the things about God. I'm pretty sure we won't understand most of the things about God, but we know one thing. He loves us. He always loves us. He loves us. We don't always love him, but he loves us. When his wrath has to be sent towards us, when we have to pay for our rebellion, he gets no pleasure out of it because he loves us. Here he says we should praise him because if he didn't love us, this wouldn't be a good story. The whole idea of God knowing everything, being everywhere, having all power, being eternal, that's not a good news if he doesn't love us. But if he loves us, what does it do? It allows us to endure. It allows us to thrive. It allows us to be able to stay in the game with him. It allows us to live. Even when I don't understand it, a lot of times, most of the time, we don't. But if God knows everything, and he does, and if he is everywhere, and he is, and if he's eternal, and he is, and if he's all-powerful, and he is, and if he loves me, that means that he could end this misery, he could change the situation completely, he could rescue me from my plight. A lot of the Psalms, they're begging for that very thing. And if all of those things are true, all five of them are true, I might not like the outcome of it, but I can at least think maybe there's a reason for this that I don't understand. Maybe this is something that somehow, and we have other promises that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and so, and even if I don't understand it, and even if I don't like it, maybe I can endure it. I don't understand the pain. I don't understand the disappointment. I don't understand why. You know Laura Jenkins. You know what a great Christian person she was. You know, or is. You know what a, you know how kind, how sweet, how loving. You know how much she helped her husband, who is a great preacher. So what would it hurt if she lived five more years? What would that hurt? How do you get your brain around that? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so on an emotional level, that's what poetry does. This psalm says, everyone should praise God. And if you want to know a reason, all people should praise God. If you want to know a reason, he never stops loving you. This great God that shouldn't even be aware of our existence. We're so puny, and yet he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he loves us even when we're a disappointment to him. He offers us a way out of this world where we can live with him forever, and he loves us. So the second set of lines, the first line of it is, he said, great is his steadfast love. And the idea of love, the idea of steadfast, when you put them together, you have something that's astounding. Makes you want to sing, doesn't it? Makes you want to praise him, doesn't it? Who should do that? Well, toward us, he says. It's not just that he loves somebody. We know he loves Jesus. We know he loves Jesus. He said it, and why wouldn't he? I mean, you know, and we know that he would love something or somebody, but he says he loves us. This is a mystery. Some of the people that God forgave and continued to love never understood it. They don't understand it. David never could get his mind around it, but he hung on to it. And whenever he was going to be facing wrath, he said, I want to face it from God because I know he loves me. I know he loves me. And Peter and Paul say, we're wretches. We shouldn't have any of this. But they hold on. Everybody's mad. Not everybody, but a lot of people are mad at Paul because he seemed so strict. But he's the guy that tells us the most about how much God loves us and uses himself as Exhibit A. So great is his steadfast love toward us. Now, it's personal. It's not just all peoples, nations, families, tribes. It's you and me. We should love him. And we should praise his name. We should be grateful that he didn't just dust his hands off and say, I'll do something somewhere else. We should be grateful he didn't leave us to our own devices with no hope. But he loves us. The second line in this, he would say, why again? The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Now, faithfulness is sort of like steadfast, isn't it? But it's more like love. So maybe that's endures forever would be more like steadfastness. And faithfulness is more like love. If you love someone, you keep your promises. If you love someone, you a husband that loves his wife is faithful to her. A wife that loves her husband is faithful to her. A citizen that loves his country is faithful to her. He says, why should we praise him? Well, he's faithful. He loves us. And he says he endures forever, which is like steadfast. Not quite, but enough alike it that these two lines go together, don't they? And then again he says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. If you need to come to Christ, this is the time. Won't you do it? Because he's faithful. Right now, while we stand and sing.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond.